We're reading Ephesians chapter 6,
verse 11 today. Apostle Paul says, "Put on the whole armor of God, so that you would be able to stand against the wiles," or another word is the schemes, "of the devil."
We've seen in the last couple of weeks that the Apostle Paul is comparing our Christian walk, our Christian life, to a war. I don't know if you've ever been to a war, but this is a spiritual war that Paul's talking about. Satan has his forces. Satan has his hosts. And the desire of Satan, what Satan would like more than anything else, is to be able to conquer a believer. But Scripture tells us that the believer, because we have God the Holy Spirit in our life, is not conquerable. We can lose battles in the war, we can have temptations, we can fall and we can stumble and we can sin. But there's power in the blood of Jesus Christ. And if we come and if we confess our sins, He, Jesus Christ, is faithful, He is just to forgive us our sins, and not to just forgive us our sins, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so the war has been won by Jesus Christ on the cross. And I want us to focus this, and I want us to always remember this. If you remember nothing else from today's service, remember that you are in a war. You are a Christian soldier. You are fighting for Jesus Christ. Jesus won the war on the cross. But you are called daily to take up your cross, to follow Jesus. And in that process, you will every day fight a battle in this war. And you have the power to be victorious even in your daily struggles with sin and temptation and whatever else Satan might send your way. Satan has a history of being the enemy of God. The very word Satan means adversary, or the one that is against. And we'll look at this a little bit more next Sunday, but that is one definition for Satan. The word devil, that is also used in Scripture to speak about our enemy, and we'll look at this next time, is the one that accuses us before God. And in all of his the things that Satan does, he attacks. That is the method that he usually uses. Remember when he came to Eve in the garden, he attacked her through her mind, through her eyes. It was an attack that she did not understand was coming towards her. Jesus, throughout his ministry, was attacked by Satan. Satan tried to keep Jesus Christ from coming in the Old Testament. In many different ways, he tried to get Israel to sin so that God would not pour out his blessing upon Israel, the chosen people through whom the Messiah was to come. When Satan failed, he tried to get Jesus killed when Jesus was a baby in Bethlehem. All the little boys were killed. When that did not work, Satan tried to destroy Jesus in other ways. He tempted Jesus after Jesus was baptized. He tried to get the scribes and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law to trap Jesus into doing a sin of some sort. He kept trying, and when all else failed, he finally got the people to nail Jesus Christ to the cross. And he probably thought, there, my work is done. Only to find out on the third morning that Jesus was alive. Satan attacked Paul during Paul's ministry. As you read through the Acts, we're going through a series Sunday mornings. Satan attacked Paul when he came to Thessalonica. In Ephesus, in all the different cities where he went, Satan was opposed to the work of God. And Satan is opposed to us being here this morning. I'm sure right now in some of your minds and some of your hearts, there's a battle that is going on. And Jesus guarantees and Jesus promises to give us the power to be victorious even as we sit here trying to concentrate on his word, and Satan is trying to get into our mind and make us think about other things. This is part of the war. This is part of the attack of Satan. Last Sunday, the last couple of Sundays, we stopped in verse 10 where Paul says, "My brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." We understand the word strong. That's Superman, right? That means the person that is stronger than the other person. But our strength comes from Jesus Christ. It says that we have power, and this power is in the might of God. If we look at the meaning of these words in the Greek, the word power is more or less closely related to what we understand to be a package of dynamite, if you could imagine that. You know, when the dynamite is packaged and it's in a box and it's sitting on a shelf someplace, it's useless. It has power, but it's not doing anything. But when it's ignited by a spark, it can explode and it has a lot of power. And it can do damage, or it can be used as people need it in mines or to blow up things, etc. So it has a lot of power. We have a lot of power in our life, but it's let loose in our life by the power of the Holy Spirit when we allow Him to work in our life and to turn it on. But more importantly, there's a contrast here in verse 10 between power and might. Have you stopped and you thought about these two words? You usually would say, well, isn't that the same thing? In fact, Paul uses strength here in verse 10. He uses power in verse 10. And he uses might. And these are all closely related words, but they each have their designation. The word might is translated from the Greek in what we would use in English, the word dominion. Dominion refers to a king usually, and it refers to the territory that the king rules over. And when we think about the power that we have in the Lord, that Paul says, be strong with this power, and this power is part of the kingdom of God, and the power that is in you is greater, is bigger, is larger, and extends further in the universe than the power that is in this world. And how far does the dominion and the extent of God's kingdom go? As far as our mind is concerned, and it's limited, obviously, we try to put a little box and say, well, this is God's kingdom. Well, God's kingdom goes from eternity to eternity. It has no beginning and no end. The little world we live in is like a little box. And we're in this little box, and we've got the power in the mighty kingdom of God to be victorious, to have battle in this war, and to win the battles that we are called to fight against Satan. Several chapters back, remember when Paul was talking about in the opening chapters of Ephesus, Paul talked about all of the spiritual blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. I think one Sunday I went through and read a series of verses a long time ago about everything that we have as a result of being in Jesus Christ. It's like you go into this storehouse. It's like going to Costco or going into Toys R Us or going to a big store that is full all the way to the ceiling with merchandise. And if you can imagine, the store manager says, it's all yours. You can have all that you want. Well, the power of God is not contained in our little mind, in our little box. It's the extent of the dominion of God. And as Christians, we have access to this power to be victorious. And so in order to do this, in order to understand that we have an enemy, in order to understand that we are in a war, we need to be prepared, we need to be trained, we need to be equipped. And then we need to be sent forth to fight this war. And Paul uses this occasion to warn us as well as to encourage us in this war that we are in. Last Sunday I said that the least amount of the power of God is greater than all the power of Satan. So even using what little power you have that God would give you, you have much more power available to be victorious. To be a victorious Christian and to live a victorious Christian life means to use God's power, to be strong with God's power. Not to say I can do it, but like Paul, to say I can do all things through Christ Jesus who what? Strengthens me. The psalmist says, my strength is in the Lord. I lift up my eyes to the hills from where my strength comes from. And so we have this power to use. And if we are not victorious, it's because we are not using this power, have not learned to use this power, and are not using it. And so our prayer should be, God, teach us how to use this power. Sadly, probably most Christians do not, on a daily basis, actively think about the fact that we are in a war with Satan. You see, we take the path of least resistance. We want to have an easy, smooth life. We don't want to go to the front and have to be fighting this war. But Paul says, and God teaches us in his word, that this battle begins on the day of our salvation and it goes into the day we die. We think of this war as one little knockout fight and then it's all over. It is not over. And when Paul says, put on the armor of God, put it all on. The idea here is not something that you put it on in the morning and you go out and you fight and then you come home at night and you take the armor off. No, you put your armor on and you keep it on and you use it all the time until the day you die. It never comes off. When Paul was writing this letter, he was sitting in a Roman jail, in a Roman prison. Remember in chapter 4, he says, I, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. Paul was a prisoner. And where was he in jail? He was usually chained to at least one Roman soldier, sometimes two and sometimes four. Sometimes they would chain each hand and each foot to another soldier. So whether he was chained to one soldier or two or three or four, you can imagine Paul is writing this letter to the Ephesians and his eyes are all the time looking on these soldiers. These Roman soldiers had armor that they wore. And I'm sure that part of the idea of this armor that Paul talks about here came from him spending several years with these guards as he looked upon them. And sometimes these guards, because they were inside the jail, they would take some of their armor off. They would certainly take the headgear off, the helmet. It made no sense because the jail where Paul was actually the city it was the sewer system under the city. And so the guards were down there with them. And it was hot and it was humid. And there was the rancid smell of all of that refuse that was down there. So the soldiers would probably oftentimes take some of their armor off. And using this as an illustration, as a picture, Paul says, in the war we are in with Satan, no matter how horrible or where we find ourselves, whatever situation in life we find ourselves on, you put your armor on and you never take it off because you never know when Satan will fire. Later on, we'll see here, a fiery dart or an arrow into you. A dart is just a little sharp utensil that you throw with your hand, and an arrow is something you shoot from a bow. But both of these are pictures of the armor that the Roman soldiers would use. And Paul uses this as an example. He says, if you want to stand, if you want to be victorious, if you understand that you are in a war and that you have an enemy who is the devil and a Satan, then you have to know that Satan has his ways. That's what the word in your Bible translated schemes or methods or wiles means. Satan has his way of attacking us. God has his way of protecting us. You see that? God has given us his armor. And what I want us to remember today is Paul says that you are to put it on. What is this armor? We'll pick it up in the next few weeks as we work our way through this chapter. So go home and be strong. Amen.